Hi, everybody. This is Thomas Stone. I want to put out this quick podcast. I'm going to speak a little, I guess, extemporaneously today. The catalyst for this podcast came kind of on the heels of listening to sermons and podcasts. A lot of times I go to sleep or I lie in bed, and when it's quiet and my wife's sleeping, I go into another place, and I listen to a lot of sermons from 50, 60, 70 years ago. Read the books, listen to podcasts. Mostly it has to do with the written word. Very rarely do I really study the markets and such at night. I no longer trade futures the way I used to. I've gotten too old, and it's too stressful, and I no longer subject myself to trading futures and commodities. 10, 20 years ago, yes, I would do that, but I no longer do that now. And so the catalyst of this podcast was the result of an interview that I heard last night. It was Dr. Tom Horn. He passed away back in October of 2023, if I'm not mistaken. He died actually kind of young. I mean, I'm 60. He died at 65. I'm hoping I can last longer than 65. And then for someone like Tom Horn, he probably should have lived to 75. Other pastors and preachers lived to 75, 80 years old. I don't know what happened to him, but Father Yahweh took him out. And I couldn't help but think about the circumstances surrounding his early demise. Now, people in the alternative Christian community who don't know any better, who don't know the written word the way we know and understand the unfortunate, you know, the politically incorrect way, we know who our adversary is, Jesus, or Yahweh in the flesh, Jesus as we know him as. He knew the adversary. He called him out over and over again. Tom Horn, however, would say this is a Judeo-Christian faith. And he would tell you, who was he calling out? Well, he was calling out people of Israel who were from Judah. He equated the Israelites as the Jews, the Judeo-Christian lie, the falsehood. And so he propagandized, unwittingly, I assume, I don't know, the Judeo-Christian line that the Jews wanted him to say, whether he knew it or not. I can't imagine. He'd be too good of an actor if he knew that and lied through his teeth. I've met him a couple of times at some of these conferences. Now, this is going back probably about 15, 20 years. It's already 2026. I cannot believe I used to go to these prophecy seminars or whatever it was, for the weekend. And he'd show up with a bunch of other people. And so I met him and I talked to him a couple times. It's not like, he was hard to get in touch with. If you so chose, you could talk with him and have a conversation. I never called him out or anything. I would just say, it's good doing what you're doing, and I appreciate you taking the time. I would never call him out. He's older than I am, so you respect your elders. So you young folk, if you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s and you're calling out people in your 60s, you have to understand that the internet is conducive to doing that. Where I know people in their 60s are having mud fights with on social media with people in their 20s and 30s. And, if they saw these people in person, they would never have these arguments. But that's the way it is on the internet. But it got me thinking. He came out with a book, Zeitgeist 2025, and I think that was published in 2021. And he talked about Apophis. He had a vision. You know, anyone who takes the shortcut with these visions or just asking for trouble. He had the vision of April 13th, 2029. Apophis would decimate the planet Earth, and it would be the halfway of the tribulation period. So what was Zeitgeist 2025 about? It was Zeitgeist 2025 essentially was that the founding fathers were a bunch of Freemasons and worshipped Osiris and Apollyon, you know, basically the devil. They were devil worshippers, Freemasonic devil worshippers. And they had a secret destiny for the United States. And it was to be fulfilled in 2025. That would be the kickoff of the tribulation period. Well, unfortunately, 2025 is come and gone, and so is Tom Horn. Tom Horn had similar prophecies going back to 2012, or the December 21st, 2012. He was out there promoting David Flynn's books, The Secret or something of the Center of Time. And I remember David Flynn, a very bright man, and he would be able to lay out all the geometric analysis, geometry, and the astronomy, and all of the numbers. And he was able to determine, with all of the knowledge that he had behind this, that it was December 21st, 2012, was going to be the return of Jesus Christ. And Tom Horn, during the late aughts, was promoting David Flynn's books. David Flynn also got caught up with the error, as Tom Horn has done, and he's no longer on this in this dimension, of getting involved with Freemasonry. Looking to the geometric analysis and all the numbers and the numerology behind Freemasonic symbolism. And so ended up that David Flynn and Tom Horn back in late aughts up to 2012 they were basically chasing their tails. What I could never understand is here you have two very pious people who claim to be devout Christians, who say they know so much about the Bible and the adversary, and yet they rely on Judaism and the Judaistic mysticism of the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Moreover, they rely heavily on the symbology of Freemasonry. And I can't think of anything worse to rely upon than the testimony and the analysis and the books and the writings of those who worship their father, the devil, Osiris, the all-seeing eye. And so in many regards, they were correct. They would say, look, hey, you know, there is a secret destiny. And Tom Horn would say, yes, Ben Franklin was the Hellfire Club. And Thomas Paine hated the Bible with a red-hot passion. And yes, that's absolutely correct. Ben Franklin was responsible for getting the Catholic Church installed into the United States. He was... He was almost responsible, fully responsible for getting the Jesuits a foothold, a stranglehold here in the United States. He helped establish Georgetown University. And he helped to establish the Catholic Church here in the United States. And he wasn't Catholic, so ask yourself, why was he doing that? I'll let you answer those questions. But I ask, you know, and Tom Horn would enumerate there were several of these supposed founding fathers. Now, Thomas Paine wasn't a founding father. Thomas Paine was brought over to the United States as a propagandist by Ben Franklin himself. And so there are other founding fathers who, I guess on the surface, we could say that they were not what we saw biblical Christians. Maybe Thomas Jefferson. Maybe John Adams. But I read the books and the parchments and the writings and the diaries of many of the founding fathers over the decades that I've been reading them, and they do refer to the written word, the Old and New Testament. And so, you know, you have four or five of the founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence who are absolute, probably hate Jesus. But how many founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence? I don't know, three or four dozen? So I don't get caught up into the, you know, what they could have or what they had or what they were, and they were interviewed, or there was a historian who said this or said that. These historians could be Freemasons. But the thing I find interesting is that the United States did have a secret destiny. But it's not secret to you and me. The destiny of the United States and of Britain and the Commonwealth goes back to Jacob's deathbed. Genesis 48 and 49. Specifically Genesis 48, you read that. And he pulled Jacob on his deathbed, pulls Joseph into the room before he pulls in his 11 other brothers. And he says, look, I'm going to give you a double portion of the birthright. Basically, Reuben, my firstborn, I think he slept. It doesn't really get specific, but he basically slept with his concubine. Reuben was kind of fast and loosed with his morals. And so he didn't get the birthright. It went to Joseph. Of course, that was Rachel's firstborn. And so he pulls Joseph into next to him, and he says, give me your two sons. Come over here. And he wittingly guides his hands over the younger one. His right hand goes to Manasseh. His right hand goes to Ephraim, who is the younger, and his left hand goes to Manasseh. And he gives the primogeniture, the firstborn, does not get the birthright, so to speak. It goes to Ephraim, the younger of the two sons of Joseph. He says he's going to be a great group of nations in the last days. His branches will extend over the bow. His boughs will extend over the well, meaning that they will go all over the place. His influence will be far and wide. But he said, don't worry about me not promising the birthright for Manasseh. Manasseh, oh, he'll be the greatest nation. He will be great. There will be two brothers attached, joined at the hip, who in the last days will separate and form their own nations. And so you look today, who fulfills these destinies? I can't think of anything else. You call it British Israelism. Jesus didn't come to destroy and when they say he came to fulfill the laws and the testimony of the prophets, he didn't say, I'm going to end it. That's it. He says, no, I am the shining example of everything of the written word of the prophets going all the way back to Genesis. Noah was a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Jacob was a prophet. You're going back all the way, right? Adam, they were all prophets. So our Heavenly Father in the flesh came back, fulfilled the written word, but he didn't say it's all over and complete and hung on a tree. That's Judeo-Christian propaganda. So you go back to Genesis 48 and you look, and there's only, if you understand this, the written words, the way that you and I understand it, there has to be in the latter days, in the last days, there has to be these people having a tremendous influence. And so you could say, well, Britain isn't like what it used to be. Well, I don't know. What's the most common language in the world? What's the language of business? What is the form of government that is the most prevalent in the developed nations. I think of all the things that Ephraim, Great Britain, had accomplished before its kind of loss of power after World War II. The British pound was the first global reserve currency. Britain spread far and wide. Boy, those bows extended way over the well. They had the Commonwealth. They still do. They speak English. They have common law remedy, right? Their form of government, their jurisprudence, their influence is unmatched by any other country in history. Britain. Imagine the world without Britain. What would it be like? It basically colonized half the world, a little island. But in the last days, those two brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh, would separate, and Manasseh would become that great country, the 13th tribe. Manasseh would become that great country in the last days. And there are actually 13 tribes in Israel, because Joseph is divided in half. The house of Joseph is Ephraim and Manasseh. And they were separate in the ancient Israelite kingdom, in the northern kingdom. There was Manasseh and there were Ephraim, and they worked together quite often, but they lived separately. They had their separate lands within the kingdom, on the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, they separated in the last days. Manasseh became that great country. And how did he set it apart? How did he telegraph it? How did he put his stamp on it? With the number 13. They could have had 14 or 15 colonies. They could have had 12 colonies. But no, they had 13 colonies. 13 stars and stripes. 13 arrows. So this is a problem when people like Tom Horn and David Flynn, these big, well-regarded and well-respected prophets in the Judeo-Christian religious communist church, they'll tell you 13, we've gotten secret word from a high-level Mason, as Tom Horn would say. He said before he wrote Zeitgeist 2025, he was invited with his wife to the Alexandria Masonic Hall. Now, if you're familiar with Alexandria as the way I am, you know that right off of King Street, you could see it from the Beltway, this ungodly, awful, huge Masonic tower. You know it looks all occultish. And they light it up at night. Well, he was invited by two high-level Masons. And he would say, it was so interesting how much I learned. And I ask myself, this is a great non sequitur. If you're truly a Christian, if you truly understand the word the way you claim you do, why in heaven's name would you refer yourself to high-level Masons? They're instructed to lie every moment. To mislead you, to send you in directions, to give you red herrings. And this is exactly what happened with Tom Horn. Tom Horn got it wrong in 2012. He then published a book saying it will be in 2016. He was wrong on that. He then intimated 2020, and then he put out Zeitgeist 2025, the secret destiny of the United States. And there is a secret destiny of the United States. But he got it wrong again. The secret destiny, and this is what the high-level Masons talk about, and they know. Ephraim and Manasseh are the real deal. These end-time prophecies go back to Jacob's deathbed and his 12 sons, 13 with his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. The highest level Masons know what the United States represents. They knew what Britain represented. That's why they exploited the God-given strength. It is so important to understand the Freemasonic lodges, the Freemasons, the occults, these Luciferians, The owners of the privately run central banks who worship the devil, who are Edomites, Cain, who are descended back to Cain. Because the flood was not worldwide. It was erats. It was through the land. It wasn't worldwide. They were descended from Cain. Genesis 3:15 says their seed and our seed will always be at enmity with each other until Shiloh comes, until the end. So the descendants of Cain, who were spawned from the devil, wasn't Adam's son. It was the son of the devil with Eve. That's why they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And because of that, this war is going on today as we speak, and it is winding up to a conclusion. And on the surface, it looks like they're winning. The Israelites have, there's genetic differences in the brain and the mind. That's the only conclusion I can make, living 60 years, being a property manager, and dealing with all different walks of life and races. I wasn't like this when I lived in New York City. I believed all of the hocus pocus of the propagandists of the one worlders, and even the Catholic Church. I was fully indoctrinated in the Catholic fiction. I was brought up a Catholic, raised Catholic. I knew all of the traditions and the prayers and the sayings and the slogans. I can even say the Nicene Creed right now. It's etched in me it's hardwired in a lot of regards. But Father Yahweh had different plans for me. In 1997, I put down the bottle. I never thought I'd be able to put down the bottle. And I realized that I was never going to amount to anything working for other people. I don't have the personality that's conducive to being a great influencer. But what God, Father Yahweh, gave me was the desire to learn. And he gave me a high enough IQ to understand these things, to think logically and deductively. And that's why I look at the research of Tom Horn and I would say, does he not get it? First of all, he's all Judeo-Christian. He conflates the Jews with the chosen people and the Old Testament. And yet, on the other hand, he doesn't see their teachings in their books. He claims to. He relies on that. He relies on the devil. He relies on Freemasonry to come up with his analysis. So he's always going to be wrong, because he's always chasing his tail. But he had. I suspect that Father Yahweh finally had enough of him and put him down. He died young. He died at 65. He was fine and then the last couple of weeks of his life, he got ill and he died. And I'm convinced that Father Yahweh let him say, you got to stop this. You and your stupid prophecies. You and you're relying on your Freemasonry. You on and knifing the written word and getting it wrong and leading hundreds of millions, hundreds of thousands, millions of people into the wood chipper. So United States did have a secret destiny. And these devil-worshipping bastards that you and I rail against, the descendants of Cain, the flood, they survived the flood. The historians in China, it was unbroken. In Egypt, it was unbroken. During the time of the flood and before and after. Egyptians were living before the flood, they were living after. Chinese were living before the flood, they were living after. These races, the Dravidians were living before the flood. They were living after. So don't try to tell me that the flood was worldwide. The flood was there to keep all of the mongrels that were mixing with the other races around the world. The people who descended from Adam were mixing up, just like they're doing today. And Father Yahweh put an end to it. Yahivahi, YHVH. Why did Pope Benedict XVI come out with a bull in 2008 commanding that the Catholic Church remove Yahweh from all of the hymns, the prayers, the books, the written words of the Catholic Church? Remove the word Yahweh, lest they upset the Jews. That's what he said. There is plenty of archaeological evidence going back to Babylon and before and up to about the time of Christ, where they would uncover bodies and skeletons and graves and tombs, and they would open up and they would have these little amulets and these scrolls, and they'd open it up and it'd say, Father Yahweh, our Father Yahweh, our YHVH. The book of Numbers, I forget the chapter that it's in. May Father Yahweh bless you, keep you, may his face shine upon you, raise his countenance, lift his countenance up on you, and grant you peace. And it was Yahweh, 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 YHVH. That's how they pronounced it, was Yahweh. And yet today's Judeo-Christian, the communist, religious communists, all you have to do is believe. They'll tell you, oh no, that was out. Oh, it's Jehovah, it's this, it's that. Jehovah was an invention of the 1500s. And that was put into the King James Version. What I find sobering and sad is that the older I get, the more I realize that even the King James Version, just about all of the versions that relied on the newer script manuscripts, they're all purposely contaminated by the devil, the Jews, the Edomites. Even the silent ears was purposely put in there to keep the people, the true Israelites that are on this planet today, from figuring out who they are. And they're getting beat down and demoralized. And soon, I don't know how soon, but it's going to be soon, they're going to hit the guillotines if they don't figure it out fast. Now, there's one thing about the internet that I do appreciate. For those seeking the truth with an open and objective mind, not being persuaded with the confirmation bias like the Jews of God's chosen, and having all of that prefaced, you'll never understand it. But with a blank slate to go in and to research and to leave nothing on the table. The internet's fantastic. But for the vast, vast majority of humanity, I'm talking over 90%, the internet has been a scourge, has destroyed them. You're wondering why wealth disparities continue to widen. The internet, social media, everything off the internet, YouTube, all of these instantly piped in commercials, ubiquitous commercials all over, omnipresent. The people can't figure out why they can't stop spending. They're being lied to. It's the conology, as Alan Watt would call it. It's a conology. It's the art of the con. It's the study of the con, a science of conning people. It is right. And the internet has perfected it. And so the internet has allowed those who have understanding, not understanding of the written word, but understanding of how to exploit others, it allows them to prosper at the expense of those who just can't figure it out. And I'd say those who can't figure it out, that they're being exploited, not only being exploited, but exploited the way they are being exploited and how they're being exploited. I'd say it's at least 90% of the population. They can't figure it out. And they never will figure it out. Because every time they get a thought in their mind to try to question, there's going to be a demoralizing rebuttal somewhere on the internet and on a Google search algorithm and AI. It's just I did unless I tell you, I don't know how the people are going to figure it out. I really don't. And it's honestly, it's a miracle that I ever gotten to this point with my understanding. And I thank Father Yahweh all the time. Many times a day. Many times a day. Five, six, seven, eight times a day. My mind goes blank and I start thinking about my Heavenly Father. I say, like, get me out of here. But if you need me to do something, I'll continue doing it. I dedicate my blog to you. I'm just trying to give all the research and time that I spend researching all this stuff. If I can give it to maybe 10 listeners, maybe this podcast will be downloaded 10 times. I don't know. I don't keep track anymore. Because if I did, it'd probably be demoralizing. I see people get a million views in the Judeo-Christian church. I probably get 100. So the secret destiny of the United States, yeah, it's there. But these secret societies know all about Ephraim and Manasseh, and that's why they exploit the riches of America and the British Commonwealth. Why do you think those two currencies were the global reserve currencies? It was the British pound, and then after World War II, it was the US dollar. There's a reason. The devils themselves, the Cain, descendants of Cain, who mongrelized with Edom, who then could say, yes, our father is Abraham. Because technically they're correct through Edom. They're not Israelites. So today's Jews, yeah, their father's Abraham. But you get this snarky, you get snarky sounding Jews. Yeah, you know, the European white Europeans, they're Japheth, or no, they're Edom. We're the Israelites. You see, they don't know. It's in their genetics to just to lie. They don't even know they're lying. It's just genetic. They don't do the research. They don't have the understanding. They just say all that crap was hung on a tree. Don't worry about it. It's all about Paul now. They inserted Paul into the New Testament to overemphasize Paul, to keep you people flat-footed. And then they translate it in a way through cunning. Right? Through sleight of hand. Oh, it's Jew versus Gentile. Oh, it's Judah. It's Judites. Jew was a made-up word. It just cropped in, I think, for first or second Kings for the first time. And it was through Edom. Like King Herod, he was an Edomite. Judas Iscariot was Edom. Jesus purposely put Judas Iscariot in there so he could betray him. The devil, his genetics go back to Cain. So our secret societies today, they know all about the United States. They didn't go to Argentina and build up Argentina and made it to whatever. They didn't do it in Brazil. They didn't use Canada. They didn't do it to Germany. They didn't do it to China. No. They brought their beachhead, established it here in the United States. I'd say a fair amount of the founding fathers were probably on board with it to some regard, maybe naive with it. But once the Rothschilds came here and established the first national bank of the United States, then that's when they started with the Washington D.C. and the monument, and that's when a lot of that Rothschild money came here and swept into the country. But before that, there was still a decent amount. You know, Tom Horn will tell you that Andrew Jackson was a Freemason and he worshipped the devil. I said, okay, well, maybe that's true. Maybe a high-level Mason told you that Andrew Jackson was a devil worshiper. And all I know is Andrew Jackson, in my book, is one of the best presidents we ever had. Say what you will, but he kicked out the Second Bank of the United States in the 1830s. The Rothschilds. He kicked all the Rothschilds out. You vipers, you den of vipers and thieves and devils. He kicked them out. And it's just kind of like to rub salt in our wound. He put him on the back of the $20 bill. And now there's always talk about putting Harriet Tubman on the back of the $20 bill. Talk about being demoralized. Now, the United States has reached its useful date. Best used by. And I'd say, yeah, they're basically grinding it up and spitting it out. But I'm not telling you there's some sort of Masonic prophecy attached to what I say 2027, the second half of next year. I'm telling you because I don't know how they're going to be able to keep QE going on longer. You know it's true. You see the bond yields exploding. What is the Federal Reserve going to do? Start buying $100 billion of long-term treasuries a month? They could do that. They probably will. And guess what? They're going to lose, the global investor is going to lose confidence in the central bank scheme, in the national banking, central banking scheme. They're losing confidence. And how do I know they're losing confidence? That's not hyperbole. They're losing confidence because bond yields are rising. That is the ultimate litmus test in the confidence of the central banks. Look at what Bank of Japan is doing. I don't know what's going on over there. And then you have that new prime minister is a woman who's promising everything but the kitchen sink. Probably even kitchen sink she'll be handing them out. And so bond yields around the world are rising because people have lost confidence in the concept of quantitative easing. I'm telling you, even though the Federal Reserve started buying $40 billion a month, $500 billion a year now in treasury bills, that will allow the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. Because the lower overnight rates go, the less appealing money market funds and repos and all this and reverse repos, the less appealing that's going to be. And so you're going to get greater and greater amounts of volatility as supply floods the markets of short-term overnight paper, especially emanating from the federal government itself. And so the Federal Reserve is buying up this $40 billion a month in overnight paper so they can continue with the facade of dropping overnight rates. Maybe they'll get down to 3% soon on the overnight rate sometime next year. But how are they going to do that? Are you going to want to stick your money in a 3% money market fund with inflation publicly stated at 3%? It was a little bit better when we were yielding 5.25%, right? But the interest outlays by the federal government just went parabolic, right? It's now over $1 trillion a year and rising. So that's why they're concentrating on the treasury bills. But you notice that the bond yields around the world are not falling in any meaningful way. And that's because the people, the investors, the global investors in an aggregate are losing confidence in the entire system. Quantitative easing could have worked forever had the governments feigned, pretended fiscal prudence. And that's another reason why I would say that the COVID scam was another concoction. There was a number of objectives that were achieved with the COVID scam. And people get caught up with, you know, with the mRNA injections. Yes, I totally agree. I think it was a slow kill weapon and to mobilize the population, to demoralize them and to make them sicker and sicker, where they just get sick with all these mysterious diseases that you can't figure out. But I'm not going to go there. I am on board with you all. Believe me. I never got those injections. I haven't gotten injections since 1979 when I got duped into taking tetanus from stepping on a stupid nail that went through my work boot. I digress. One of the most important objectives that were achieved by the globalists was the destruction of the QE concept. What do I mean by that? Well, by flooding the world with, I don't know, $10-15 trillion in liquidity and handing out all of these checks and money, unilateral transfers out to people to spend, They created such a massive wave of inflation. There was no way in God's green earth that that was a mistake. We were talking about this in my prior iteration and after my shortwave show wound up and in my prior blog. I said, there's no way that they made that mistake. That was intentional. I said, I don't care what happens to the people. I don't care if half the population dies. This was back in the summer of 2020. I said, you buy every piece of real estate you can get your hands on. And the assets. I said, you buy all the stocks. You buy every asset you could possibly imagine. I said, I don't know what their goal is, but I can tell you what the results are going to be. And so what they do, and they ended up creating this massive wave of inflation that undermined the concept of QE. And then I see, I'm not getting political here, Janet Yellen. When the 10-year treasury was yielding about 1 point, I think at one point it was down below 1%. She could have taken all that short-term paper and blown it and plowed it into over a 10 and 30-year treasuries that were yielding like 75 basis points to 150 basis points. But she said, no, I'm going to do it overnight paper. The great preponderance of Federal Reserve, of treasury funding for the COVID was in overnight, it was in T-bills, you know, less than 1 year. And I'm thinking to myself, why is she doing this? And then I realized, it's all being done on purpose because it's led us to this point. The great destiny of the United States. The devil worshippers are running the great nation that was promised to Manasseh's descendants. So through the United States and prior to World War II, Great Britain, the devil worshippers, Freemasons, the liars, the descendants of Cain and Esau, they know all about this stuff. They know it's all still in effect. The only people who think that it's been hung on a tree are the Christians themselves. There is a secret destiny. Well, it is a secret because so few people know about it. So Tom Horn's dead. I think Father Yahweh had enough of his bullshit. And that's what it is, bullshit. And you know why? Because people like David Flynn, if you remember back in 2012 with the secret of the center of time and all this stuff, and he had Newtonian physics and mathematics and it all laid out. And guess what? He died of brain cancer in January of 2012 before he could find out that all of his analysis was garbage because he relied on Freemasons. He relied on all of the publications of Freemasons. You cannot believe anything a Freemason says. Do you think they're going to publish for public consumption? Do you think they're going to allow people like Tom Horn and David Flynn to get the secret Freemason literature? No, they're going to be fed the lies. The Judeo-Christian lies, the religious communist lies, and they're going to be fed the Freemasonic lies. That's basically it. It's so simple. And I was listening to Tom Horn, I think it was an audio book, and he sounds so brilliant. And it is so convincing. I'm not telling you he's a lying thief I think he wasn't meant to know. He wasn't meant to know the way you and I are meant to know, which is why you and I scream in a vacuum. Because nobody wants to hear what we have to say. Nobody wants to talk about the global thermonuclear war. Nobody wants to talk about Jacob's trouble. Nobody wants to talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is a war. Ezekiel 38 and 39 it sets a tableau for a war. In an unfolding series of events in rapid fire fashion that happen. And it's a war. And guess what? This war has never taken place. These people, these races, these tribes, these nations have never fought in that configuration ever. And so what is he talking about? In the latter days. Yes, we're in the latter days. And once you understand where Ephraim and Manasseh are and where the Israelites settled, and you wonder, and you once you realize what Jesus looked like, Father Yahweh in the flesh, that he was most likely, based on the descriptions that Pontius Pilate gave to Caesar, and the historians of the time, Josephus and all that, they describe a man who had steel gray blue eyes and light brown hair. And they described a face that looked like it was somebody you would see in Northern Europe. And so, this isn't rocket science for people like us, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. But once we understand where the nations and the tribes and the peoples are, once we understand who the Jews are, once we understand where Japheth is, you read all of the tribes and the nations and the peoples of that are going to come like a storm over the house of Israel, the house of Joseph, the land of unwalled villages, the Israelites, the mountains or the nations of the peoples of Israel. And you say, well, they're all Japheth. It's basically Japheth versus Shem. Basically, Israel versus Japheth. This war has never taken place, but it's taken place soon. You see it. Yeah, the United States has a secret destiny. Anyway, that's about it. I went on way too long, and I spoke extemporaneously without notes, and there you go, over 45 minutes. I put out a podcast. There you go. You hear my voice. Thomas Stone out.